in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
And welcome to this week's episode of The Artist Interview. I'm your host, Gordon T, and it's my absolute privilege and pleasure to bring to you amazing artists in the world of contemporary Christian music and worship. And I tell you what, we have got a couple of guys with us this week who I've been really looking forward to bringing on the show. They have absolutely torn it up the charts here in the UK. And you know what? They've got some absolutely fantastic music as well as great stories. So before we meet them, let's hear this first track from them. I'm sure if you're a regular listener, you're going to know this track. It is Hallelujah Feeling by Caleb and John. Was Hallelujah Feeling. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Welcome to the show. So I've got to say, your debut single, and to come out with a single like Hallelujah Feeling, absolutely awesome reception to it. And I know that it's done very well in the States as well as doing well here in the UK. What do you think about it? How do you feel?
I mean, I will say personally, it's just been absolutely incredible. I mean, for me, I've been wanting to make Christian music since I was 12 years old. That's always been a dream of mine. And just even to have met John and to have started this crazy thing and to see what God has done with this song and how many people it's been able to just reach and encourage with the joy of the Lord. I mean, for me, it's just been really incredible.
Yeah, I know. For me too, like, it's been the craziest experience. Like, Caleb and I met a little over maybe a year and a half ago now, and just to see God fling open doors for us. And, you know, we were just out on tour recently, and we definitely, I think I can speak for the both of us and say that we've been so blessed by this entire experience.
So we better find out, I guess, a little bit about your past history. So maybe Caleb, you'd like to tell us a bit about growing up. Did you grow up with music in the church, or what's your background?
Yeah, so I'm a pastor's kid. So my dad has been pastoring just as long as I've been alive. And so I was raised in the church. I was really the only thing we listened to was Christian music growing up. And I really didn't have that much exposure to non-Christian music up until college, really. And so it really is just instilled a reverence for the word of God as being told through song and through story. And so I just developed a love for it when I was young. And, you know, and of course, you know, got into listening to secular music in college as well, which is awesome, but I still always have that, man, I just really want to make music that glorifies Jesus. You know, was saved at a young age, accepted Jesus into my heart when I was 4 years old, and never looked back.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool. You mentioned not getting into, or not listening to much secular music till you got to college. So what is that, 18, 19, something like that?
About 18. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what was your favorite secular band at that point?
Oh, man. Well, okay. So it's, I like to call them the gateway drug, Coldplay. Right. Because so much, you know, Christian music as a, maybe a similar tone to Coldplay. So I kind of started with them because that was the safe option. And then, man, I just really got into bands like Charlie Puth, Lainey as well, and John Mayer as well. Just incredible, some incredible influences.
Cool. Okay. So, but still a fairly healthy background, I feel it sounds like. So John, did you have a similar, I would say, Christian upbringing that was all fairly straightforward and easy?
Not at all. We were, my family, we were Christians, but it was more of just like a cultural, like we'd go to church on a Sunday and then the rest of the week was kind of whatever we wanted. And Christian music though definitely changed my life. And part of my story is that, so I have five sisters, and one of the five sisters that I always used to butt heads with, she sent me a song. And I saw it was a Christian song, and I thought, this is not for me. And so I didn't listen to it. And, you know, I think it was about 6 months later, I come across this song on, you know, just on my own. And I, because she's the only other musical person in my family. So I sent it back to her because we would always send music back and forth. I sent it to her. I was like, oh, you got to check out this song. And she said, John, I sent you that song like 6 months ago. I can't believe you're just getting around to it. But we had this whole moment because I was living my life just very, just however I wanted to. And I was going down a bunch of bad paths, and that whole thing the song was Reckless Love by Corey wow. Asbury. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just completely changed the way that I thought of God's love for us, and completely changed the way that I, you know, thought of the way that I was living. And so, that started me down a track of, just figuring things out and figuring out, you know, my faith in Christ and figuring out the gospel really. And, I think a year or two earlier, or probably 2 years earlier, I had started getting into music. And then from there, it was like, okay, I'm going to go the Christian route. And, that's how I wound up where I am now.
So when was it then that you listened to Reckless Love? How many years ago?
So, I think I was 18. So it would have been 5 years ago now.
Okay, which is so you're 23. I did the maths. So yes, it's not very long ago though.
Think about the song being that old, because it still seems pretty fresh to me. So
yeah. See, I when you said that, I was a bit surprised. I was going, is it that old? I didn't know. I thought it was much less than that. But maybe it took a little while to peak. I'm not sure, because it's one of those songs that definitely seems to last a long while. So okay, so the two of you then, you're going after Jesus. Are you in the same part of the country? Do you happen to meet down at a coffee shop? What, how on earth did you get together?
Yeah, so it's a really cool story, and just a mutual friend had introduced us and had spoken to me beforehand and said, hey, I know that. So John and I both did kind of some solo artist stuff, just putting out music independently as solo artists before we met. And our friend said, hey, I know you've been trying to do the solo thing a little bit, but I really think you should meet my friend John. He's an awesome guy, strong believer, and I really think that you guys might be able to make some cool music together. So we met up at a breakfast spot called Puppy Muffin on tax day here in America, April 15th of 2022, and we just hit it off. We're like, hey, well, we really like each other as people. Maybe we could try to make something work musically. And so the next couple of days, we just went into my studio at home and just locked ourselves in for a couple of days and thought maybe we can make something of this. And we came out of that knowing like, hey, I think this is something, there's something that God really wants to do here. So let's try it. Let's do it.
That's cool. So musically, are you quite similar, would you say, or do you come from different angles at things?
Probably a little different, I'd say. I think Caleb is more of the pop route, more like a Jordan Feliz type sound. And I think I'm a lot more rootsy, acoustic kind of sound. So the music that I fell in love with while I was like learning music was more folky, you know, that kind of rootsy kind of stuff. So,
all right, then. So let's pretend that Caleb and John never met, but you could work with any artist. I don't want to bust you up. I do apologize, but anybody who would you actually, in that universe where you guys aren't doing as well as you are, who would you work with?
Caleb, what do you think?
John, he can't be better than me, whoever you choose. I'm kidding.
All right, give me a second.
Man, let's see. I'm definitely a big Jordan Feliz fan. So I think I would definitely love to make some music with him. He's got a cooler, he can rock a hat way better than I can. So I think it'd be a good pairing.
Seems like a fair pick. I think that could be fun.
I know. Yeah. That's why I was like, okay,
go
we'll
on,
take
John.
It, take it.
You've had extra time to think about it, buddy.
Okay. So the We the Kingdom guys are, to me, they have just this level of fearlessness that they just, you know, just as far as like sonically, they just throw in whatever they can, you know, whatever they think sounds good. And I just think I admire their music so much and their writing and all of it. So probably like Ed Cash and those guys, I would want to work with them at some point.
Okay. So I'm going to score what you've just done there according to who was right.
Caleb, not bad. I'm going to give you a 7 out of 10 for that. So that wasn't bad at all.
Let's go!
But John, as you chose We the Kingdom, which is unashamedly my favorite band, you actually get 10 out of 10. So, in fairness, you got to choose the style and the things you want to do, but just happened to hit on the jackpot there. So, okay. And they've been on the show and they are really lovely people as well. So fantastic music.
I feel like I already got to work with We the Kingdom because I actually interned for Ed and Scott back when I was in college. So, and actually what's crazy is I actually was played in a band for a little while that opened for their first concert ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. That's awesome.
So kind of my claim to fame here.
Yeah. And we hit upon it almost by accident, but just also to say what's really good is that you still chose someone else. You still went the pop route. You didn't just go, well, I'm mates with Ed. So I'm going to say, I like the fact it just came out naturally in conversation as well. So It's a cool claim to fame. I have no claims to fame as cool as that one. So there you go. It's a good thing.
Hey, neither do I, man. Neither do I.
maybe as you know them, maybe you could arrange to do a Christmas song together. You never know.
That'd be fun. Here's a possibility. Come on.
Or with the changes in their lineup, John, there might be an opening. You never know. I'm kidding.
I don't know if I can live up to Frank.
Yeah, that would be crazy. So who came up with the idea for the song Hallelujah Feeling?
We were writing with our friends at that point, and so I think one of them came up, they're like, we got to write a song called Hallelujah Feeling. And it was weird because I remember I was going through a lot. Like, I did not want to write about whatever a Hallelujah Feeling was, but it was very like, I've heard a lot of people talk about how, you know, writing a song is like therapy. And that for me, like, I feel like God used that session just to remind me that, you know, like the verse talks about, some days I'll climb the mountain, some days I touch the clouds, some days my best friend has been the cold, hard ground. And that was how I was feeling. I was like, today I'm touching the cold, hard ground, and it's just the worst thing in the world. But I was just reminded that, you know, through the gospel and through what Christ did for us, we can always have that joy, you know? But yeah, I think it was one of our friends that originally came up with the idea of a Hallelujah Feeling. So
yeah, now that you mentioned, I think that is right. Yeah.
Credit to them then. Okay, but a fabulous song. What does Hallelujah actually mean?
So I will say, so in terms of when they said we want to write a song called Hallelujah Feeling, I was like, okay, we have to define that because it's a cool phrase or whatever, but what does it mean for us, right? So the heartbeat of the song that we found was Romans 15:13, right? It says, may the God of hope bring you the joy and peace that comes from believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. So we're like, okay, I think that hallelujah feeling is right, because serving God is more about just feelings, right? But a hallelujah feeling means something that is directed above. And so really the joy and peace, not about circumstances, but that actually comes from believing and is by the power of the Holy Spirit, is what we would call the hallelujah feeling. And so once we kind of got that definition down, we're like, okay, now we can really embody this. Now we can take this on as our own and actually sing about this to people and say, there is a joy. There is a peace that you can have in Jesus.
That to me sounds like an awesome response to where it came from for you guys. And definitely the song really does just shout it out, which is fabulous. So the process then, you've met, you've been and sat in your studio, you've done a bit of writing, Hallelujah Feeling. Did you then demo that to somebody? How did it come about that Caleb and John, who sat in the studio together for a couple of days and some writers wrote some bits and it started working? How comes you're now on a record label? How did that all open up for you?
So that whole thing, like when I think I said, like, God just flung open doors for us. Like, we met and then decided we were going to do this. And then like 2 months later, we had a record deal. And then like,
You know what I thought you said? I thought you said you met, decided to do it, and 2 months later you had a record deal. But I can't have possibly heard that, because normally when I'm talking to people, they go, after about 10 years of hard slog, suddenly, no, 2 months, two
that's,
months.
That's what I mean. So the fact it was 2 months, and maybe give or take a few days, but generally speaking, it was like just about 2 months. And then after that, I think we wrote Somebody Like Me first, and that was maybe a month after that, and then a month after, or maybe a month or 2 months after that, it was Hallelujah Feeling. And then, you know, we got other songs, but it was like very quick where we got the record deal. And then I know a lot of artists, like, they get the record deal and they're like, okay, we got to get the song, and it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a really good song for to put it, you know, pitch it out to people. And it was like, we met, and then we got the record deal, and then we got the song, and then we're like, okay, like, here we go.
And I will say that, like, you hear this, like, oh, we've been working at it for 10 years. I think that John and I have been working at it for a really long time separately. And I think that really when we met each other, it was almost like there was something that we were working towards where and the sparks just kind of, you know, like the fire caught, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
We went to someone that we knew who was a manager to other artists as well. And we're like, hey, do you think we could maybe get, you know, like maybe this could be something. And so he said, well, let me talk to my friends at this record label. He got us in for a meeting. We came in, we played for one meeting, and they said, yeah, we want to work with you. I mean, we think this could be really cool. And so here we are. So it's just absolutely wild.
So who is the manager?
So our current manager is Ron Smith. So he manages another band called Kane. He's just an awesome Christian band. We love them. So.
And which record label are you on?
We're on Fair Trade.
Fair Trade.
The wonderful Fair Trade, which home to many excellent artists that we often have on the show. So you mentioned that you'd worked with Kingdom. Well, you opened with Kingdom. So you're working with Ed though as an intern. How did even that come about, Caleb?
So I'm from Rhode Island, which is the small state in America originally. And so I decided to move to Nashville to go to college. I always knew that, like, well, if I want to do music, I've heard Nashville's the place. So I went down there to go to college. And over the course of working at that college, I had just met, you know, some people who were saying, hey, we're looking for interns for different companies. And they recommended that I work with Ed and Scott. And so I found myself at their studio, walking in being like, oh my gosh, these guys are legendary. And I'm just really excited just to be able to learn from them. And I did. I learned a lot from
them. So is it an unpaid internship? I don't know how internships work in the States. Is that normal?
Yeah. So I did two unpaid internships. That was one of them. And so there's a rule in the States where you can either do an internship for pay or for college credit, but you can't do it for both, and you can't do it for neither. So you have to be getting compensated in some way. And so for me, that was college credit. So I did the one internship with Ed, and then I did an internship with Centricity, actually, who had just signed Jordan Felice when I was interning for them. So I actually got to work with Jordan as well, kind of as he, before the river hit and he became huge and famous.
So actually, when I gave you 7 out of 10, I now feel I was very rude. I apologize. I'm going to up that to 8 out of 10. So
anyway. A 7.5. I'll take 7.5. Okay.
So you learned loads during the internship. That sounds good. What were you actually doing in that time then?
Yeah. So during my internship with them, I was really just working in production. So, I mean, I was getting the studio ready for artists and clients to come in. I was doing some editing on the back end. So when you record something and then you need to go in and edit the audio a little bit, I was helping them out with that. And then, of course, you know, your basic intern stuff. I was going and getting a little coffee and getting a little lunch for them and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but just really just kind of anything that they needed doing. I mean, it could be file transfers. It could be really just whatever. Something that would be a blessing to them as they're a blessing to other artists.
Wow. Okay. That to me does sound like a genuinely really good opportunity though, because you will certainly learn loads and loads. And what about you, John? So how did you get into the Christian music scene? Because you said you obviously God impacted you, and then because you're loving music, you segued that direction. But it's one of those things that many people want to segue into. So how did it open up?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I turned my life around. I started leading worship at the church I was at. I started out with, I wasn't very good. So I started out with just like the youth and then kind of worked my way up. It's like kind of this thing where it's like you start out with the high schoolers and then you go to leading college and then you'll lead in like the services. And so I did that. I started playing for Katie Nicole. And I think my friend from that church that I was leading worship at, he introduced me to one of Caleb's friends, and then that's how we ended up meeting. And so, but yeah, it was, I don't have as many years as Caleb does in the professional music scene, but, it was more so like I was just leading worship, and, you know, I played backup for Katie Nicole, but other than that, that was just me kind of sitting by myself writing Christian songs and trying to do it that way.
I suppose you better find out, you can both sing, obviously, but instrument-wise, what instruments do you play?
Oh, man.
Well,
Caleb?
Yeah. Yeah, so I know for me, so I play piano and guitar. That's what I've played professionally for other artists, because that's a big part of our story, is that we were what are called side guys in the industry, or backup musicians for other artists.
Who have you played for then?
Yeah, so John played for Katie Nicole all last year. I played with Katie for a few shows, but I've played with in country music, Sam Hunt. So I played with him for quite a while, and then I've also played for the guy that we just opened for, Micah Tyler. I've actually played for Kane, and that was how I met their manager, who became our manager. Let's see, who else? Rebecca St. James, if you know that name. And
yeah, we know Rebecca. She's been on the show. In fact, yes. I met her not that long ago.
Oh, really? So she's lovely. Just awesome. Just an incredible, incredible person. Ann Wilson as well, and so a couple others as well. So it's just been fun, man. It's just been fun getting the opportunity to play for a lot of different artists. And I will say, like, all of those experiences, like, we've really learned a lot, you know, between me and John. So it's, you know, when we just finished our first tour, we opened up for Micah Tyler, which is awesome. And I mean, really, it just felt like, it felt new because it was our first time doing it as artists, but at the same time, it felt familiar, and we actually kind of caught our stride pretty easily because we'd had that experience. So, and that's just a blessing to God that we had the opportunity to do that. So
brilliant the way it all came together at just the right moment. So we've got another track to play from you. What's the track called, and tell us all about it?
Yeah. So this one is called Somebody Like Me. And so this is one of the first few songs that John and I wrote together. And, you know, I think that it really plays into who we are, because the big part of who we are is that we are two guys. And as you can tell from our story, that we come from different backgrounds, right? I was saved at a young age. John found Jesus earlier in life. But regardless, God is the same, and God's grace is the same, and God's love is the same. And he shows it to everybody who calls on his name, right? That's what the word says, is whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so whether it's somebody like me, somebody like you, you come as you are and you leave brand new.
Somebody like me, somebody like you, you come as you are and you leave brand new. If you're feeling broken, running out of hope, then just look how his love set free. Somebody like me, somebody like me, yeah.
And that was Somebody Like Me by Caleb and John. And I'm so pleased the guys are with us for the Arts Institute. Thanks for all you've shared already. John, if you'll be happy to pray for listeners, that'd be really appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, dear God, I just thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for Gordon and everything that he does over on his end. God, I pray that this interview and just these songs, I pray that they would just touch the hearts of the people, especially this last one, God. I know my story, I just felt unworthy, and I didn't feel good enough. But God, I know that if you changed me, you can change whoever is listening. You didn't come for the healthy, you came for the sick, God. And so we pray that through this interview and through these songs being played, I pray that you remind people that they're not too far gone. No matter what they've done, no matter what they come from, they're not too far gone. And then, God, I pray that you would just give them joy. I mean, thinking about the song Hallelujah Feeling, I pray that you would give them joy and remind them what you did on the cross all those years ago, and just how sweet of a thing that is and how powerful of a thing that is. God, I pray that we would be reminded of that. I pray that you would just give us hope and give us joy from that hope. And God, I pray, again, if there's anyone listening who is just unsure, I pray that you would just put yourself in wherever they are, God. Remind them how loved they are by you. God, we pray that you would just bless the rest of our days. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, John. Guys, you know, what a journey you've been on, and amazing. I have such success already. And looking forward to all the things that God has ahead for you. So what do you think the next sort of 12 months has in store? What's the plan?
Yeah, so we're just excited coming off our first tour ever. So we've really just, you know, kind of decided that, like, let's hit the road. Let's actually, you know, kind of, we've taken these songs we've written and, like, let's get them in front of people and just sing about the hope of Jesus. So we've got some shows coming up. We're going to be playing a good bit of the next 12 months. And then I think at some point this winter, probably early spring, John and I will be back in the studio, maybe working on some stuff, because we put out 4 songs so far. You know, I think that we want to just keep going in and keep making new music and keep recording them and work our way up to a full album.
So, okay, you're doing an album, only because some people these days seem like, oh, do I need to worry about doing albums? It's a streaming world. It's very different. But an album is on your heart. So that sounds,
yes,
sounds good to me. Talking of albums, okay, of the artists that you've worked with, whose album have you played the most?
What do you think, John?
Like, okay, are you saying play the most as in, like, just listening to it?
Yeah.
I will say Katie has this one song called Jesus Changed My Life. It's such a good song. And it was like our opener. I've listened to that song so many times. It's so good. I feel like it's a little underrated, but yeah.
You know what's good about that is you said you listened to it loads of times and you're like, it's so good. Because sometimes you can listen to a song loads of times and you go, that song was so good, but now I've burnt it out. But that song, you're right, it is a great song. And I think that's a good pick. What about you, Caleb?
I mean, so for me, I would say, oof, we played Sam Hunt songs a lot and we played Kane songs a lot. My wife and I, Morgan, we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary the other day.
Oh, congratulations, Morgan.
Oh, thank you
and,
so
and,
much.
And you as well, Caleb. So.
That's right. Well, she got, I got the better end of the deal. I married up for sure. You know, we're both big Kane fans. She's actually traveled on the road with Kane, doing the social media content for them. We love Sam as well. We love him as a person and as a songwriter. So we bump both of their songs pretty often.
Cool. So I suppose as it's been 2 years, you better tell us a story of how you met Morgan.
Okay. It's a long story, but I will give you the short version. So there is an incredible Christian artist named Hannah Kerr. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah, she's been on the show.
But yes, she's awesome. She is awesome. And so her husband, Jason, is my best friend. We were best men at each other's weddings. Like, we were just very close. And so one day during the coronavirus pandemic, when, you know, we were shut down here in the States and, you know, everyone just watching church online, I got a text from Jason, Hannah's husband, one morning that said, hey, Hannah thinks that your future wife is on our church live stream right now. And ooh. I had never met her, and I was like, what? And so I went on and looked at the live stream. I saw her. I was like, she's beautiful. I would be down. I've never met her before. I had no idea who she was. And to this day, Hannah will tell you, because she doesn't say things like that. You know, she doesn't say, like, that's your future wife. She said, I knew as sure as I'm standing here talking to you now that was your future wife. She told me that after we got married. And she's like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit told me or something like that. But so that is how we met. So a few months later, because I'd been trying to figure out a way to, like, get to know her and get to meet her and talk to her. A few months later, one of our worship leader friends was like, you know what? I'm just going to message her on Instagram for you and say, hey, I want to set you up with Caleb. And I was just the piano player at church at that time. I want to set you up with Caleb, the piano player at church at that time. And so she messaged her and got her number. And then I called her and asked her out the next day.
Wow. I love that story. That is so, so cool. What an amazing thing to be watching the live stream and go, oh, I better tell him now. That's the person he's going to marry. That is a a bonkersly good story. So so God does do things like that. I like it. So
that's
so,
right.
So good. You said you married up, but obviously God was arranging it. So an arranged marriage. Yeah. Can't complain about that.
Yeah.
So not in this case anyway.
By God, yes.
So so John, I have no idea what your status is. Are you single currently, or you're married as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. how long have you been married?
Almost a year. So not that long. But yeah, we met not. That is an incredible story. That's the only time I've ever heard of something like that happening. But my wife and I met at actually that church I was talking about leading worship at. We met at the college ministry over there. So,
well, okay, oh, that's nice. That's a bit in a more normal way to meet.
Yes,
I've got to say I have had some success in matchmaking. I was once on a mission team out in Cyprus. I don't know if you know where Cyprus is, but it's in the Mediterranean. It's quite a long way from the UK. And I was there. And we met somebody on the streets, and I said to her, "You've got to meet my friend who lives in Nottingham in the UK." She, because God was doing great stuff with her, she came back to the Lord when we met her on the streets, and then she did meet my friend in Nottingham, and they are now married and live in Australia. So that's a good one.
Wow.
So I have several. I have several like that. I can't go into more details because I haven't got time. But it's but it is great the way that sometimes God just hooks up those extra connections to bring someone together. But Caleb, your one is a special one. That's great. So okay. But congratulations both of you for having found the women of your dreams. So but also looking at the two of you, but it's a bit like a marriage. You're working a relationship, though, isn't it?
You got
different strengths, different weaknesses. What's been the thing that you most admire in each other?
Yeah, I mean, whenever people ask me and John, how long have you been together? I say, we're just friends. Oh, man. Okay, my favorite thing about John is a very genuine and sincere man. He just has a heart for people, and he will look into a situation and take someone, you know, and he treats everybody equally, whether it's like on this tour we've been on, whether it was the bus driver or whether it was Micah Tyler or whether it was just, you know, someone we were talking to while we were signing at our merch table or whatever. Just John cares about people, and he's very genuine about that. That's my favorite thing about it.
That's the lovely thing. Good spot. Okay, John, what about you for Caleb?
Man, I'm blushing. That was so sweet. Man, I'll tell you what. Caleb has been – I remember before I met Caleb, I was praying for just friends who were, you know, around my age that, you know, that were better than me at music. And God definitely gave me that in Caleb. But I think, you know, Caleb has just been like the older brother that I know. I mean, I have five sisters. I have no brothers at all. So, Caleb has been like the brother that I never had. And I'll tell you what, something I admire, probably the thing I admire most about him is just, he is a man of conviction. And I mean, he's in the country world a lot with, you know, playing for Sam Hunt and stuff. But he, man, just the way that he's such a light to the, you know, those people out there, because I mean, a lot of those people, they may know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And, I think I just admire that so much. And he's unwavering in his convictions and in his love for Christ. So I admire that so much in him.
That's lovely. It's nice to see you smiling as well. It's like, you know, that's great. So, and just for the listeners maybe in the UK who aren't as familiar with country music, Sam Hunt is a huge big name. He's got like, I don't know, 8 million followers on Spotify. He's like big name in the music scene for country music. Probably not a genre that is as popular in the UK, but this stage, this show goes out worldwide, so other people might go, Sam Hunt, that is pretty awesome.
it's country but from a different country.
Yes, that's right. So absolutely. So we do have something called country dancing in the UK, but it's a totally different thing. So
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's not as much fun as line dancing, in my humble opinion. But I could be wrong. People probably disagree. So I don't want to start like a war on social media about which is better. I have no idea. So, okay. So what are the things that Jesus is working on you? And he's always stretching us, always wanting us to grow. What are the things that he's talking to you about?
I can go first for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did like a meet and greet thing, I guess, the other day, and someone asked what our favorite verse was, and mine has been a verse that I've just been, I guess, just sitting on and like meditating on recently. It's been Proverbs 3:5, that trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. And it's, man, it's such a weird thing, you know, with, you know, I think there's just so much going on in our lives right now that it can be so easy to, you know, just freak out about whatever and be like, oh man, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how this is going to end. But oh my goodness, like that's been something where I'm like, I have to trust the Lord in this. I have, like, my faith is going to look like me releasing whatever emotions, whatever feelings I have about this. Not that I can't feel that, but I can feel it and I can give it to God and trust that he's going to work it out. And so that's what I've been having to sit on lately.
For me, I mean, it's really, I would say, I just, you know, I like kind of what you said earlier, like there's like, oh, 10 years of working hard behind the scenes. I think that for a lot of my life, God has kind of, you know, helped me work through walking in the waiting, you know, and being steadfast when the thing that the Lord has kind of showed in my heart as to what he's called me to do hasn't taken shape yet. And so now that John and I mean, just by the grace of God, we've been doing very well. Like our songs are actually, you know, going up the charts and stuff like that. I think now he's teaching me, how do you steward what you have well in what the world would call success, right? And, you know, what does it mean to be a good husband during this time and make space for her? What does it mean to steward this gift of music well? What does it mean to steward my own faith well? And, you know, and it's a learning process, you know, and it's something that God is continually teaching me and showing me. And here's how you still make space for what's important during business, you know, and during success. So that's what I'd say.
When I talk to artists who've been on the road for a while, they'll always have stories, two types of stories that I'll be interested to hear now. One is stories of someone who's come and talked about how a song has really touched them. And the other will be a story of where things have gone totally pear-shaped. Do you say pear-shaped in America? Pete Tong, wrong. You don't, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, she say things have gone pear-shaped or things have gone Pete Tong. So when things have not gone to plan at all and you go, oh no, what's going to happen? And hopefully God steps in and changes things around and it works out okay, or it's a learning experience. But let's start with feedback from people who've been impacted by your music. I know it's not been that long, but has there been some stories that people have shared about the way your music has touched them?
Yeah, we've actually had someone who, you know, we've heard stories like this on the road as well, but someone who actually just wrote into our website and said, hey, this song has been just something that has helped us get through, you know, my cancer. You know, and like as we've been driving to chemo appointments, like we've been just blasting your song and like just saying that we can have joy and peace during this incredibly hard time in our lives. And I mean, that's just, it's so encouraging to hear that, because when you're writing a song in a studio, you have no idea that God will use that to help someone who has cancer just kind of get through and keep their head up and keep their eyes on Jesus. And so that's a standout to me as far as, you know, what we've heard. I think her name was maybe Sue. So Sue, if you hear this, you are awesome. We love you.
Well, you know what we should do? I think it would be great right now, if you're happy to, Caleb, why don't you pray for Sue and the listeners? We can all join in praying for her right now. And of course, if listeners, you've got friends, relations, other people who are going on this journey with cancer, we can pray for all of them as well. So include them in your prayers. So go ahead, Caleb.
Yes, absolutely. God, I pray for everyone listening right now who is battling with cancer or any kind of just a health thing. God, you are amazing and you are incredible and you are a kind and gracious God. And I pray that you would just meet people where they are at right now, and that your spirit would just cover them. Lord, would you cover them with the joy and peace that comes just from you, God? And would you give them that peace right where they are? And Lord, I even pray for healing, God. I pray that you would heal just anyone who's listening who is struggling with cancer, God. I pray that you would work in their lives by the blood of your son and by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would move in these people's lives. I pray for Sue specifically, that you would just be with her in this time, in this chemo journey, and God, that you would just remind her that you are greater than all of it, and you are working behind the scenes, even when we don't understand it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Well, that certainly is a story and a half to have somebody who has been blessed by your music in the middle of things being really hard. How about the other end of things? Is there a story for you guys from being on the road where things didn't go right?
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah, man, we our last two shows were in Texas. We played, I think it was one on Saturday, and then we went to a church on Sunday to play a show that night. And so we rolled up to the show. We had like flights to get to that part of Texas that morning. So we rolled up to the show. It was later in the day, just cause we had to travel there. So we get there, and we were setting up, but it was later, you know, because again, we had to travel. So set everything up. Micah Tyler's who we were with. So he gets his sound check. They have like a lot more, they have a longer show and they have a lot more pieces to put together. So they get their sound check and they get everything working for their show. And we start our sound check and nothing is going right. And we have a shortened amount of time as it is. So nothing is going right. Like this amp that the church kindly provided us was not working. There's a few things with our in-ears that weren't working.
So it was a prank amp. They thought it'd be good to test you.
Yeah. Oh man. No, you ever hear where it's like, oh, if you pray for patience, the Lord's going to put you in a situation where you need patience. That was, yeah. So we were just, you know, I think I'm super proud of Caleb. And I think we both did a good job of, you know, staying, just keeping our head in the right spot, you know, because I think it'd be easy to, you know, get rolled down. And because after that, we were like, we still had no idea what was going on. So the show came around and nothing was working during the show. So we basically had like an acoustic performance.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was rough. It was rough. The piano stopped working. One of our computers that was doing, you know, important in the show stopped working. So we didn't have that. We couldn't, John and I couldn't hear each other.
I couldn't hear myself.
In our monitors. we're like, you know what? We're just going to keep on going because the show must go on and the Lord's still going to be glorified.
Wow. Okay. But it was okay in the end?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It worked out.
We got off, we prayed, and we kept on going. We met a bunch of people, and everyone there was so sweet and very patient with us. So, it worked out.
It worked out. Yeah. I mean, we've had a few people when they've had shows that just haven't worked out at all. So, so the fact that you were able to do it was still pretty good. So that's not a bad outcome overall. In fact, I would say Micah Tyler, I wonder if he is the warmest, most friendly Texan in the world. I don't know how he compares to other Texans, but I tell you what, he is so sweet and so kind. So lovely person to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Texans are warm and friendly in general, but I think Micah just takes it to the utmost level. And he is just, and I will say he is extremely kind on tour. Like he is very, you know, ministry, like we, you know, kind of meet all of us, you know, us and him and the band, everyone meets before the show. And we just talk about what God's doing in our lives and, you know, that sort of thing. And so he's awesome and very genuine. And it was an honor to be out with him, honestly.
Oh yeah. That's a lovely thing to say about him. I'm glad you like him. If he said something horrible, I would obviously have to just cancel the show entirely. But so, okay. You guys like to travel though, I guess, hearing about the fact tour is something you're looking forward to doing. Is it too early to say, why didn't you come to the UK?
Not at all.
Not too early at all. Yeah. We could be there by next week.
Oh, there you go. Open to it. So
I don't think either of us have ever been to Europe. And so we would absolutely love to come.
Is this your first European interview?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I apologize on behalf of all the other European stations and shows that haven't yet invited you to come to the UK or other parts of Europe, because it is a place where God's doing some amazing stuff. We would definitely give you a warm welcome. So so you just need to find the reason to make it work. So it would be fun, but don't come right now because it's just raining all the time. You have to wait till it's a bit warmer. Okay. So, John, you mentioned your favorite Bible verse. Caleb, just to ask a Bible question for you, what's your favorite Bible story and why?
Oh, man. Okay. So it's hard to pick a favorite, but I have been digging in. I recently dug into some facets of the story of Caleb in the Bible, because, you know, I'm Caleb, and that's kind of my namesake. And I've known about Caleb for a while, but I ran into just some things about that story that were just really so cool to me. And just him, the Bible says that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And just that he was one of the only ones that says, go out and take the land, you know? And that phrase, take the land, has kind of been stuck in my head for a while, just because, you know, music is scary. Like, you know, making a living off of music is scary, because there are ups and downs, and, you know, all of a sudden, and there's, you know, but we, you know, I'm just trusting that the Lord is going to go before us, and he's going to take the land, and he's going to not just be before us, but he's going to walk beside us and walk behind us, you know, kind of watching our backs. And so it's been really cool just to dig into how he followed the Lord wholeheartedly, and then really take that on as my namesake. We're like, hey, I need to be following the Lord wholeheartedly and doing this and chasing after what the doors that God's opened up for us. So
brilliant. And I think the first person to ever choose that passage. So there we go. Yeah. Really? But it's a cracking one to have chosen. So that's good. We have got time for one more track from you. So what's the track called? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, man. Well, when Caleb and I first met up, you know, we met at this breakfast shop called Puffy Muffin. But then the next 2 days, we just sat in a studio, tried to find our sound. But we also had to talk about, you know, what is our ministry going to be about, you know? And at the end of these 2 days, we sat down and we said, okay, if there's anything that we're going to talk about, if there's anything worth talking about, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about what he's done for us. It's about the hope that we have in him. It's about the joy that we can have from that. And it's, you know, we want to tell people about that. And so, you know, Caleb and I have had the chance to play in some really cool places with other artists. And we've, you know, even in our own careers, we've gotten the chance to do some really cool stuff. But this next song is just kind of talking about how, hey, you can have everything, but everything means absolutely nothing if you're missing Jesus.
Like a song without a rhythm, like a heart without a beat. What's a man without a mission? It's like a car without a key. Don't wanna be so caught up in the good that I leave the best behind. It's funny how so wrong, why you trying to get it right? It might be time to change the things I'm chasing after. I don't wanna gain the world and lose what matters. Cause this life ain't really living if this life's the only reason. No, I don't have a thing if I'm missing Jesus. Nothing else could ever last, nothing else could satisfy. I can see it when I open my eyes, that it's time.
And that was Missing Jesus by Caleb and John. I'm so grateful the guys made time for us today to be with us on the Artist Interview. What lovely blokes and wonderful music. And there are many other artists and interviews and music for you to enjoy. Just search up The Artist Interview on your favourite podcast platform. It's the one with the red logo. I'm your host, Gordon T, and I look forward to being with you on the next episode. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/theartistinterview.